Thank you. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah.
You're at home.
Amen. She said, I'm at home. I can preach to midnight. That's what she said. Lock the doors. Amen. Amen. Come on, first giving honor to God. Come on, give God some praise. Amen. Amen. Come on, don't patty cake. Come on. Amen. Give God some praise. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come on and let us look to your neighbor, say he's talking to you. Let us exalt his name together. Amen. Isn't it good we don't look like what we've been through? Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Amen. I am excited. I had to pinch myself and make sure I'm not dreaming. Amen. And I mean that. Amen. Praise God to be able to stand here, Pastor Walker, at your holy desk. Amen. And the way God allowed our paths to cross is supernatural. Amen. That's that Ecclesiastes 3:1 time. Amen. Where Solomon said that there's a time and purpose for every season under the sun. That word season comes from a word Z-E-M-A-N. Z-E-M-A-N means to be appointed or to be fixed. And so in all actuality, Solomon was saying that everything under the sun has been appointed for and by God. Goes on to say a time to be born and a time to die. Amen. And so everything in the earth either comes directly from God's hand. If not, it's got to go through his hands. Come on, give him some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And so we are just excited, me and my family, to be here. And I think it's appropriate, amen, for me to mention how God allowed our paths to cross. I am working on a Christian entertainment company. Amen. And me and my family were blessed last summer to be out in Los Angeles for 6 weeks and 6 days. We took a real road trip, bought a new van and drove out and just were beach bums for 6 weeks and 6 days. And I watched the July 4th fireworks on Malibu Beach. And we took tents and we played volleyball on Santa Monica Beach where the pier was. And amen, was able to work on some financing and for my distribution and financing and distribution. But God is just good. And so when I got to Atlanta, now I tell you, I wish I had time to testify. Amen. Really, because when I'll just tell you from the time we got here in August. When we were on our way back from Los Angeles, my wife's little sister, Natalie, had double kidney failure. She had lupus. And she had her hips replaced, her knees replaced, had part of her finger cut off. And she was 39. And my wife, a couple years earlier, we came down to Emory to see if she was a match for her sister to give her a kidney. I remember my wife asked me, what did I think about her donating a kidney to her sister? And of course, I told her, sweetie, whatever you do, I support. Amen. And I admire her decision to give her sister a kidney. And we came down. We were on our way to Chicago. The surgery was supposed to take place December 5th. And I just, on the road back to Chicago, said, sweetie, you know what? Let's pack up and just go there for a year. Because my wife's father is 88 and her mother's up in age. And Natalie was the one who did the hospital visits, like the day, all day today. My wife took her mother and father to the eye doctor, then had to take her mother to her primary doctor. So my wife has taken on that responsibility. And so the surgery was supposed to take place on December 5th. On December 9th, my sister-in-law turned 39. On December 14th, 5 days later, while my wife is in the room, she lifted her hands and said, Lord, heal my body and make me whole, and died. Amen. Now, wait, that's good news. When I did her eulogy, I had to tell my mother-in-law, who I call mom, and my family the truth. I said to my mother-in-law, to my wife, and to the family that, God did more for her than what she asked. He didn't just heal her body and give a new, he didn't just heal her body and make her whole. He gave her a body that was new, not made with hands. Come on, give God some praise. And we never know what she meant by that prayer. Amen. But I know he did it. Won't he do it? Amen. Yes, he will. Praise God. And so here we are. Amen. We've been here now, as First Lady has said, since August 17th. And our 1 year stay has turned into 2.5 years, or approaching 2.5 years. And so when we got back to Chicago, you know, we gave away most of our furniture. We got a U-Haul truck, and we were like the Beverly Hillbillies. Amen. We just came on down the road, and here we are in Covington, Georgia. Amen. And find out that Pastor and First Lady live in Covington, Georgia. Amen. And so that must have been what drawed us there. But back to the entertainment company. And so I heard of this pastor down in Atlanta that is doing films and doing movies. And I Googled African-American pastor, because he's a brother, African-American pastor that is doing movies and television. And this is the truth. First thing comes up is cross-cultural church. That's what comes up. And we were trying to figure out how that could happen, and we know how it happened now. It's because of the TV ministry that you guys had and the things you're doing. So when I put in African-American pastor in the Atlanta area that does television and movies, it came up. And this is the honest to God truth. Man, I tell you, I was so impressed by the videos. Now, I should have just kept going to the next, but being obedient to God, I looked at the YouTube videos, I looked at the videos, and it was more than impressive. And so I commend you, and amen, you have many more years, both of you in ministry, but so far, your years have been very well spent. I mean, come on, give God some praise. Very well spent. My God. I mean that. Wow. I'm talking about, spreading the gospel to the nations. Amen. The bringing the Atlanta pastors together. I don't know how you pulled that one off, but brought the Atlanta pastors together. We need to keep you lifted up in prayer. Amen. They actually came. Amen. Praise God. Them brothers need prayer. Amen. I mean that. Wow. And so we just thank God, not just that, watching, the work that you guys have done with children. And I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Amen. And you need to be, what is that black-owned TV station? This don't count against my time. My 3 hours is still 3 hours. This is like an introduction. It's like an appetizer. Then you got the main course, and then don't forget dessert. But what's the black owned, huh? No. They have, it's the biggest, the only black owned that owns a station like TBN. It's not Word. What's the other one? Huh? No, it's a Christian station. Is it the Word? Is it? Maybe it is the Word. I didn't recall that. But I said that to say, I was going to say, wow, they have spots. This is something totally different. For $50 a spot to air. And so I saw it. The reason why I'm saying it public, I promise you, man, I thought of you. When I saw that $50 a spot, $400 if you wanted them to edit, and 4 shows a month if you wanted to do it there. But $50 if you send your tape in. And you guys have just an impressive ministry. And we thank God for that. But what came to mind when I saw the feeding that you all were doing to, the less fortunate or those that may be trapped like I was. Amen. I was so impressed by that. It made me think about these three workers that worked in Nevada in the desert. True story. Worked in Nevada in the desert, and it was extremely hot, over 100 degrees, and they worked in the sun, and they were dehydrated and couldn't get a break, and then finally got a break, and they were building a new city. And it's ironic that the only thing there was a tavern. And it was one of the taverns that still had the doors that go open. You know, kids today don't know nothing about Westerns, so I got to break it down. They don't know about Cagney or John Wayne. Not even interested in Westerns. How can that be? Hey, man. Wow. I mean, come on now. I'm telling my age. But I grew up on Westerns. Amen. And I still love Westerns. I guess they shooting for real now. They don't need Westerns. It's the wild, wild west outside the door. I don't get it. But anyway, back to these three men. And so when they got off work, the tavern didn't have windows. It was an open air tavern. They went over there to the tavern and ordered three draft beers. Y'all don't know what that is. It's draft beer. Now, I ain't been saved all my life like y'all. Amen. And to be honest, since I've been saved, I ain't always said the right things. I have not always did the right things. And I definitely haven't always thought the right thoughts. But baby, I know how to bind those things. Paul said to cast down those false imaginations that exalt themselves. Amen. And we have the power to bind and to loosen. Amen. We can't control what goes in, but we sure can control what goes out. Amen. I'm not going to be partners in crime with my thoughts. Amen. I'm not. You know, and once we take possession of them, it's like if someone had something illegal and I handed it out to you and you said no. But if those that said yes and took it, now you are in possession of that thing. And our thoughts operate the same way. We can't control what goes in, but we can control what goes out. Amen. I choose not to dance with the devil. Amen. It's either holiness or hell. Matter of fact, I'm a holiness preacher. Amen. I am. And that's the truth. But back to these three gentlemen. Now, the clock ain't running now. Back to these three guys. So they sit down at the bar and they order these three draft beers. And I'm only doing this because I'm remembering what you all did by feeding people. And what they did when the bartender gave the three draft beers, they wanted to go wash their hands. And because there's no windows and half of a door, when they're in the washroom, when they come back, there are three flies. It's a fly in each draft beer. And the three guys, one was a casual drinker, one was an alcoholic, and one was a chronic alcoholic. And the casual drinker, he took two stirs off the bar and picked the fly up, put him in the ashtray, and drank the beer. The alcoholic, what he did was... I'm sorry. The casual drinker said, no, fly, no. And wanted to give the beer back. And the bartender said, hey, you all got up, you know, and you allowed your beer to stay open. You can get another one, but you got to pay. He said, I don't care. Give me another beer. That was the casual drinker. And the alcoholic took the two stirs, picked the fly up, put him in the ashtray, and went on and proceeded to drink his beer. The chronic alcoholic took both of his forefingers, stuck down in the beer, picked the fly up by his wings, turned him upside down and said, now spit it out! Spit it out! Come on, give God some praise. Amen. It made me think about you all's program. Amen. But anyway, as Pastor and First Lady said, it has been since going on and Googling the black African-American pastor in movies and film and coming here, that next Sunday. Amen. It has just been amazing how it seems like I have known them really all of my life. Amen. Pretty much as being saved. And so when I came to the church the first time, amen, they didn't know me from anywhere, and just made me go out to dinner. Amen. Took me to a soul food place. I don't know if that was a Chicago thing or what, but we went to a soul food restaurant and have been friends every since. Amen. If you have your Bibles, amen, get them out. I'm reading from the King James Version, and I got this out for a reason. This is the truth. You know, it's amazing, the 30 years that I've been preaching the gospel, when you know the voice of the Lord, amen. And so I had a sermon that I really wanted to preach, you know, but, you know, God has a way of having his way. And the only way you would know that if you know his voice, you know, you want his will to be done, because God knows what he's doing. He's a good driver. Am I right about that? Amen. And when we get out of the way, amen, and let God drive our lives, amen, and are obedient, he says that he knows his sheep, and his sheep, what? Know his voice. And a stranger's voice you would not follow. So thanks to Pastor Walker, amen, I was up to about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, amen, hearing from God. Amen. And then pretty much all day today, praise God, just before God and amen, and just at his feet, because I don't take it lightly, the 30 years I've been preaching, amen, when you're standing before God's people. You never know what a person's going through, amen. You never know what's on a person's mind, amen. And so you want to be sensitive to the voice of God, amen. Lord, what would you have me to say? Not what I want to say, and surely not bragging, but for my 30 years, I don't know if I've ever really preached a sermon twice. I may have went in and switched one around, you know, because God, you know, knows that somebody here needs fresh manna. Amen. Not something dusted off. I came up in the Baptist church when I got saved. Thank God for that bridge. I came up in the missionary Baptist church, and the pastor used to always say, always keep an old sermon in your pocket, you know, and I got it, you know. He didn't say in your heart, you know, in your pocket, you know, but and what experience I had there, you know. I had this huge ministry, though, while I was there, Reach Out and Touch, which was, you know, a pretty big ministry. And God, you know, wouldn't release me, you know, and that's just another sermon. One reason why you are here is hopefully because you were led here. Because going to a church where grandmama went or mama went or the neighbor, those are good reasons, amen, but the wrong reason. Amen. Because God leads us. This is the most important meal that we will receive. I'm not talking about for me, but when you are under the covering of Pastor Walker. Amen. Matter of fact, if our digestive system didn't properly function, our physical food would kill us. Amen. Am I right about that? You heard of people's bowels busting. Amen. And it poisons your inside, and you die. And so the meal that you get here is the most important meal. And not only is it important, it's a good meal. Amen. Keeps me coming back. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Amen. And so we just thank God for that. And so I wanted to show you this, and then you can start the clock in a couple minutes. So, you know, this is, you know, what I did all night. Amen. God just gave me that, and you know, and so I am praying that that we be blessed. Amen. And we want God to have his way. Say amen. Amen. So I thank God for my wife. Amen. The one I put in the luggage. Amen. Praise God. Listen, she didn't have any kids and she didn't own any property, and they wouldn't let her go. I honestly had Congressman Bobby Rush. I had United States congressmen trying to get her out of Jamaica for me. Amen. Honestly. And our embassy in Jamaica said, the consulate, a brother, he said to me, I was there. I thought it was only fair, since I knew how she lived, to bring her here before we got married and see my crazy life. So I tried to bring her to our church for an Easter service. And the consulate told me and her, said, we know she ain't coming back. I said, what? You know, Congressman is sending letters. And he didn't let her go, did not. And then when we got married, and we go to the consulate to, you know, apply for her, and I get the same consulate. That idiot, can I say that word here? That idiot, he said, I knew she wasn't coming back. Man, you watch. And so what I did is put her in my luggage. Amen. And I brought her here, and I thank God. So will you stand up for a minute? Amen. My wife, 20 years. Amen. 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 My two sons, stand up, Jeff and Joseph. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You can sit down. Amen. Praise God. And I'm so excited for my wife and my two sons. All three of them preach and teach. You know, I'm so blessed by that. Amen. My sons, Jeff has been 16. He's been preaching now 9 years. Amen. At big churches in Chicago. Matter of fact, when he preaches there, my friend's church, when he gets through, they say, hey, we ain't calling you no more. We're calling him. And rightfully so, a fine preacher. Amen. And I thank God for Joseph, my youngest boy. You know, he's been teaching. And amen. And we thank God for that. You know, we don't send our children to church to learn about Jesus. Did you know that? We don't send our children to church to learn about Jesus. We teach that at home. And then the church enforces what we teach at home. We lead by example. Amen. And so, not bragging, we've always had scripture every morning. Amen. Every morning in prayer, my sons take a turn. Amen. Every other day, teaching in the morning. And then we go around every week and we take turns doing Sunday school at home. Amen. In the adult book. We ain't never taught out the kiddie book. Amen. Praise God. So we thank God for that. Father, we thank you. We adore you. We love you. We come bow down before you, oh God. Father, we thank you for being the great I am. We thank you for being the King of glory. And God, we thank you for doing, amen, all things, oh God. We thank you that all good and perfect things come from above. Lord, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for being gooder than good, sweeter than the honeycomb, oh God. Only somebody like you could pick us up and turn us around and place our feet on solid ground. Oh God, I've been to the water and the water was cold. It chilled my body, but never my soul, because my soul is anchored in the Lord. And so, Father, we thank you that, again, that it's in you that we move, it's in you that we live, it's in you that we have our very being, oh God. And so, Father, we pray that you would just have your way on this night, oh God. We pray that you not get some, but you get all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. And Father, we thank you that we know that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So move, God, in this place, and we'll be extremely careful to give you not some, but all of the praise, all of the glory, and all of the honor. It's in the supernatural. It's in the miracle-working name of Jesus the Christ. We pray, amen, hallelujah, and thank God, everybody. Come on, give God some praise. Amen. Timekeeper, you can start the clock now. Amen. Amen. I mean, we can take off 15 minutes. 2 hours and 45 minutes, please. Amen. And I was thinking about the similarities that me and Pastor have in common. He's from Illinois. I'm from Illinois. He's from a place, Brooklyn, Illinois. Amen. I'm from Chicago, Illinois. We both were born in Illinois. Our birthdays are both in February. Amen. And then Pastor Walker, which really blew me away, does a weekly article for a newspaper in Springfield, Illinois. And I found that to be, you know, interesting. You know, whenever God gives you a vision, he makes provision. And not only does he give you provision, God always gives you confirmation. Always confirmation. And so, You know, when I found out that Pastor Walker does this article in the Springfield, Illinois newspaper, my mom was born in Paris, Illinois. I thought the pause make it. And my dad was born in Chicago. And my mom and dad met in Springfield. That's where they met at. They both moved to Springfield at very young ages, as small children. And my mom and dad dated. They went to high school and they got married very young. My two brothers and sisters, they were born in Springfield. I'm the only child that was born in Chicago. Amen. And so I found that to be interesting. Amen. And then I found something else to be interesting, that we both married beautiful women. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God. Don't be no haters, guys, if you're single. Come on, give God. If you clap, you may get one too. Amen. Hallelujah. And there you go. Amen. You heard that, single ladies? Amen. Amen. He put his bid in. Amen. And so, yeah, we have so many similarities. I was blessed to be able to be here. And for your 70th year birthday, which I told Pastor, it was really touching. No joke, you know, to listen to his daughter and family get up and talk about him. And yeah, it was. And then when you hear my testimony, you know, one day you'll understand why. It was just very, very touching. If I had my family to say stuff like that, I'd have to pay them. Amen. And so it was very really good to hear that. Amen. And I was blessed, Pastor Greg, amen, last Wednesday. Didn't Pastor Greg do a great job last Wednesday in Pastor's absence? Amen. I told Pastor about it. I said, man, wow. You know, the video I had saw already and some more. But to watch you, man of God, to stand and talk about your pastor and your church, amen, does any preacher or Christian well. I mean, really, to hear someone talk about their pastor and their church. I mean, I don't know a whole lot more things besides them talking about the Lord that we should be excited about. You know, have you ever been out in a grocery store somewhere and people are bragging about their pastor and their church? Amen. That's something there. Amen. And I mean that. And matter of fact, that's one of the greatest forms of evangelism. Amen. When you brag about your pastor. Matter of fact, when you go to work tomorrow, someone asks you how you doing, I'm glad you asked. You know, that's a open door. Amen. To brag about your pastor and your church. Amen. And before you know it, they're like, where's that church at? You know, but that is the greatest form, one of the greatest forms of evangelism, talking about what you have. Amen. Listen, they used to folk talking about the club. Amen. Talk about, praise God, where you getting fed at. They'd ask, how you doing? Man, I am so full. Where'd you eat at? No, I'm talking about Sunday service. You know, and be a blessing to someone. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless God. You know what, though? Where's Pat at? Sister. Huh? Oh, you bless me as usual. Amen. Praise God. When I first, I called the church before I came. And I was blessed for Pat to answer the phone. And we had church on the phone. And we did, amen. And she told me about her wonderful husband and how they got here. They used to commute back and forth, drive quite a distance to come to church. And then she said they finally decided that, amen, they were going to move here. And they moved here. And we just had a good time on the phone. And so we thank God that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. The anointing doesn't flow from the bottom up. The anointing flows from the top down. Amen. And so we thank God for Pastor Walker and First Lady Walker. Amen. Hebrews 13, everybody there but me. That's how it usually works. Hebrews 13, let's look at verse 8 for a minute. Now, I want to tell you something, though, honestly. I'm going to skip around, amen. I'm going to do some skipping. We're going to do some walking, amen, through the Word of God. And God has a word for us, and He's taking us somewhere. And, you know, we can't, amen, as Christians and teachers and as preachers, we can't say what we want to say. We have to say what the Lord says. And so we're going to do some moving around. And I love preaching. I love teaching more. Amen. I have a big mouth. I like shouting. Amen. I like praising God, you know, but let's see what God has for us. Hebrews 13:8, very familiar verse of scripture. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, the same today, and forever. Is that what yours says? Amen. And so I want you to remember that. We're going to come back to that. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember that. I want you to remember that. Tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, remember that. Let's go over to Exodus 26. Come on, get excited about the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. 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 Exodus 26, we're going to look at verses 31 through 33. Remember, I'm reading from the King James Version. When you have it, say amen. If you're still searching, say almost. Amen. Exodus 26, 31 through 33. I'm going to begin reading. It says, "And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen and cunning work, and cherubim shall it be made. And thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood, overlaid with gold, and hooks shall be of gold upon the four sockets of silver. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the tatches, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy." Say amen. And so here it's dealing with the curtain, but it's dealing with the veil separating the holy from the most holy place. Remember that. It's dealing with separating the holy from the most holy place. Amen. We're talking about holiness. Exodus 30, a couple chapters over. Amen. Praise God. The devil's such a liar. Exodus 30, verses 19. Are we going somewhere? I pray you get blessed on today. How many came hungry, though? Yeah. Amen. Praise God. I pray that we all get filled. Exodus 30, 19. You ready? "For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation. They shall wash with water that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister to the burnt offering made by fire unto the Lord, so shall they wash their hands and their feet that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations." Say amen. So they shall wash their hands and their feet that they die not. It shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. Amen. That's dealing with the procedures to prepare for worship. It's dealing with the procedures to prepare for worship. I pray that's what we came in to do tonight, to worship the King of Glory. Amen. And so that verse again is dealing with preparing, amen, for worship. Verse 21, it says, "So they shall wash their hands and their feet," amen, "that they die not." and it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generation. Let's look at verse 29. Verse 29. Amen. And thou shalt sanctify them. Any sanctified folk in the house? Yeah. Amen. Come on, any sanctified folk in the house? Yeah. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever touches them shall, what? Be holy. Say amen, somebody. Yeah. Amen. That should get us, you know, a little excited. Amen. Because remember, amen, that the Hebrews 13:8. What was it? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So the key, whatsoever touches them shall be holy. Or better yet, whosoever touches them shall be holy. Stay with me, stay with me, stay with me. God got something for us. So let's go to Leviticus 14:19. I'm glad you don't know where we're going. Amen. That's intentional. But baby, you will at the end. Leviticus 6. But you got to be taking, you know, some mental notes if you're not taking notes. Because we're dealing with, you know, how to worship. Amen. How to come before God and worship. We're dealing with holiness. We're learning how to prepare for worship. Amen. And let's see what God has. Leviticus 6. I'm always the last one. You know why I talk so much? Now that time don't count. It's when I start talking about the Bible. Leviticus 6, verse 14. You got to say amen. Amen. 14. Leviticus 6, 14 through 19. And this is the law of the meat offering, and the sons of Aaron shall offer it before the Lord, before the altar, and he shall take of it his handful of the flour and the meat offering, and of the oil thereof, and in the frankincense which is upon the meat offering, and shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor, even the morsel of it unto the Lord. And the remainder thereof shall Aaron and his sons eat, with unleavened bread shall it be eaten in the holy place. In the court of the tabernacle of the congregation shall they eat it. It shall not be baken with leaven. I have given it unto them for their portion of my offering made by fire. It is most holy. It is the sin offering and as the trespass offering. All the males among the children of Aaron shall eat of it. It shall be a statute forever in your generation concerning the offerings of the Lord made by fire. Everyone that touches them shall be holy. Everyone that touches them shall be holy. Remember that. Remember that. Remember that. The trespass offering was a way of taking care of sin committed unknowingly, as well as for those who unintentionally sinned against God or someone else. Even through Christ's death has made trespass offerings unnecessary for us today. We still need to make things right with God and with those we have hurt. So I want you to remember, we're going to get back. Everyone that touches them shall be holy. Remember, we have sins of omission, which are things that we should do, but we don't. And we have sins of commission, which are things that we should not do, but we do. And so remember, we want to get right with God, and we want to get right with those that we have hurt. Leviticus 10. Stay with me, stay with me. Don't go nowhere. Leviticus 10, 1. Verses 1 and 2. It's dealing with Aaron's sons. Dealing with holiness. You got it? And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Amen. Stay with me. The fire on the altar of burnt offering was never to go out. Let's look at chapter 6, and it's going to tell us. Leviticus 6, 12 through 13. And it'll tell us about it. It says, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. And we see where the two brothers, amen, were disobedient to God. And we see what the consequences for being disobedient. Remember Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. These two verses are applying that it would, the fire was never supposed to go out. Nadab and Abihu brought coals of fire to the altar from another source, making the sacrifice unholy. Whatever, if it's correct or not, the point is that the brothers took their office as priests as they began to be flagrant. They had flagrant acts of disrespect to God, who had just reviewed with them precisely how they were to conduct worship. As leaders, they had just like the church leaders of today, have a responsibility to obey God. They had a responsibility, just like us church leaders today, just like Christians, to obey God. Amen. Stay with me. Amen. Amen. Stay with me. I know, you know, these sermons are kind of tough, amen, because, you know, they're dealing with sin, they're dealing with holiness. And we have to remember, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But God has something for you. Go to Leviticus 16. Leviticus 16. Dealing with instructions for the altar. Dealing with the atonement for sin. Leviticus 16, 1 through 2. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times unto the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in a cloud upon the mercy seat. Moses is hearing from God, telling Aaron not to go into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, so he wouldn't die. Remember that. Second Samuel. Say amen, somebody. Amen. You didn't beat me there again, did you? Second Samuel, we are going to the sixth chapter. I'm still in First Samuel. If you have it, say amen. If you like me, say almost. Amen. Ain't no other almostes? All right. 2 Samuel 6, beginning in verse 6. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. And God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, should have been, and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him, unto the city of David. But David carried it aside unto the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Say amen. Amen. Praise God. That means that you're just agreeing with the word I read. That doesn't mean that you may necessarily be agreeing with me, but I believe that you will. According to Numbers 4, 5 through 15, the ark was to be moved only by the Levites who were to carry it using the carrying poles. They were never to touch the ark itself. Even though he was sincere in his desire to protect the ark, had to face the consequences of sin of touching the ark. How many know there are consequences for sin? Even King David, what he did with Bathsheba and with Uriah, amen, praise God. There was consequences to that sin. The baby died. His own son Absalom not only tried to overthrow the throne, but tried to kill his dad. There are consequences for sin. But don't worry. Just remember that. Just remember that. 1 Samuel 6, 19. 1 Samuel 6. Just remember that. Just remember that. God's going to bring this thing together. Amen. You should be getting excited already, though, because we're talking about holiness. We're getting, amen, to know about the consequences of sin, and we see how holy our God is. Amen. And he's not any different. He hasn't changed. He's still holy. 1 Samuel 6, 19. Thank you, Lord. You got it? I beat you this time. And he smote the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote of the people 50,000 and 70 men, and the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. The men of Beth Shemesh said, "Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? And to whom shall he go up from us?" And they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, saying, "The Philistines have brought again the ark of the Lord. Come ye down and fetch it up to you." Amen. I understand he didn't want the ark there after that. But the point that God is making here is they said, "Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? Who is able to stand before this holy God?" Please, please remember that. First Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 2. Let's look at one verse. Let's look at verse 8. "But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight." This is David. David wanted to build the tabernacle. And God told David that he had too much blood on his hands. He was a man of war. And God allowed David's son Solomon to build the temple. But the point is that God is a holy God. And because of David being a man of war, he had, amen, too much blood on his hands to be able to build, amen, the temple. So now that we know about, amen, the veil being separated, amen, we heard about how you could only go behind the veil. We know the story that only a high priest could go behind the veil once a year to atone, to cover for his sin, his family's sins, and for the nation's sin. The priest entered the holy place each day to commune with God and tend to the altar of incense, the lampstand, and the table of showbread. The most holy place was where God himself dwelt. His presence was resting on the mercy seat, which covered the Ark of the Covenant. Only the high priest, again, could enter the most holy place. Even he could only do so once a year on the Day of Atonement to make atonement for his and his family's sin and for the nation's sin. Let's fast forward to the book of Mark. When God gave me the message, surely I temporarily questioned God, but I soon after, amen, got what I hope that you're going to get. So if we were taking notes or we have a mental note, we should remember, amen, about the holy God that we serve. We should remember the things that God has already shown us tonight about when we talked about Exodus 26, 31 through 33. Remember, the veil shall be divided unto you between the holy place and the most holy place. We dealt with Exodus 13, 19 through 21 that dealt with the procedure to prepare for worship. We dealt with verse 29 when God told Moses to anoint the tabernacle of the congregation and the ark of testimony and the table and all the vessels. Can you imagine God told him to, amen, to anoint not just, amen, the temple and the tabernacle, but he told him to anoint all the vessels. We're dealing with a holy God. Remember, the key was whosoever touches them shall be holy, or better yet, whosoever touches them shall, amen, be holy again. So here, let's go over to Mark. Amen. To Mark 15. Are you there? I'm not. Mark 15, we're going to look at verses 33 through 38. And hopefully we can bring this together. I can't do it, but the Lord will do it. Say amen. Mark 15, verses 33 through 38. Very familiar verses of scripture. Mark 15, 33 through 38. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Elo, Elo, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Say amen. Listen, so here, before Jesus went to Golgotha Hill, before, amen, he was hung high and stretched wide, individuals would have to first, if they wanted to get a word from the Lord, they would have to go to a priest or a judge with a sacrificial offering and ask, is there a word from the Lord? Secondly, amen, before the veil was rent, amen, remember, the high priest only could go behind the veil once a year, to atone for his sin, his family's sin, and for the nation's sin. But here in Mark, after Jesus was hung high and stretched wide, after the veil was rent from top to bottom, that gave you and that gave me access to God. We no longer had to have a sacrificial offering because we have the sacrificial Lamb of God. Listen, we no longer, amen, have to go to someone else and ask, is there a word from the Lord? Amen. And so, listen, guess what though? You know what though? We went through all those verses and chapters dealing with holiness. And I want to tell you something. When the veil was rent to top to bottom, it did give us access to God, but it did not negate the holiness of the sanctuary. Did not negate that. Listen, we are standing on holy ground. In case you didn't know, when our tires touch that parking lot, amen, we are on holy ground. When our hands touch that door, we are on holy ground. Listen, Hebrews 13:8 says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, when people died, amen, for, praise God, not reverencing God, God has not changed. Huh? God has not changed. The only difference is if you came and your foot touched that parking lot or your tire touched that parking lot and you didn't get right with God first, you didn't physically die, but stuff in your life died. It did. It died. Your dreams died. The thing you've been praying for died. You can't bum rush a holy God. You can't come before him anyway. I pray people today will get blessed. Listen, you can't, again, wear a cross around your neck and act any kind of way. I don't know what your Bible says, but my Bible says it's a holy Bible. And what may have been blocking you from getting your stuff is you. And I'm telling you what I know. You can't come before God any kind of way with filth on your lips, blood on your hands, an unclean heart. You got to get right with God before you go into prayer. You can't get down on your knees and call on the name of Jesus without getting right with God first. I'm telling you what I know. That's why God gave me those scriptures. But listen, God was just giving me confirmation. My family could tell you, and I've never preached this, we never come on a parking lot without asking God to make us worthy. Huh? The Bible says to enter into his what? Gates with thanksgiving, but to enter into his courts with praise. Listen, we are in the sanctuary. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed at all. This is still holy. That pew you sitting on is holy. The toilet stool is holy. We are on holy ground. And you may be wondering why. Why, God? Why hasn't this happened? Why hasn't that happened? Because you are your worst enemy. We are coming before a holy God any kind of way. You can't bum rush God. We went through about 8 scriptures. God is the same yesterday. Listen, God doesn't have any favoritism. He doesn't love us more than he loved the children of Israel. Huh? His holiness never changes. We began to compromise and we want to make deals with God. You can't make deals with God. God's deal is the 66 books of the Bible, the 39 Old Testament and the 27 New Testament books of the Bible. And I'm telling you what's going on in your life. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've been asking God for, but you are in your way. That stuff is dead because you are approaching God with filth on our lips, blood on our hands, coming before him any kind of way. God has blessed us today. Amen. I mean that though. Listen, I'm telling you something that I know for certain. Listen, God, my God, forgive us for even holding that Bible in our hands. His word, David said in Psalms 119:105, his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we taking the word of God, putting it in our hands. No, we just, amen, went off and somebody we need to apologize to. Amen. You cannot, amen, treat God any old kind of way. He ain't Burger King, have it your way. It's God's way or no way. Nothing has changed. The only thing that has changed is we have access to God. That's the only thing that has changed. Listen, the utensils were blessed. Huh? Listen, this is blessed. That's blessed. That's blessed. That's blessed. That is blessed. And the devil don't like messages like this. I understand. I got it. Listen, when we know better, we do better. Listen, the Bible says it's better not to know than to know and to continue to live in your wicked ways. There's folk that got crosses around their neck they should never put on. Shouldn't even touch it. Take that bumper sticker off your car. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. Are you going to cry? Listen, God is the same, church. He is a holy God. We have to reverence him. I don't know about you. Amen. Praise God. But God has been good to me. Amen. Listen, and my family is right here. Man, they've been raised that way. Amen. They've been raised to reverence God. That's why they're excelling. One son in the newspaper every day. I mean, every week. Other son, Joseph, is going. Jeff does great in school. Joseph, yesterday we were at the Georgia State. He's a sophomore. He's going to graduate from college before he graduates from high school. Wow. He's graduating from college before he graduates from high school. Listen, that's because you have to reverence God. You have to reverence him. Huh? Listen, if we, you know, was earlier, I'd have everyone go back out outside on the street. I'm telling you now. And then ask God, God, make me worthy to approach you. Then touch the parking lot. That parking lot is holy, if you didn't know it or not. The parking place you're in is holy. This is holy ground. This is the altar. This is the sanctuary. Has nothing changed but us. God changes not. You got folk written out their churches. I don't care if they paid me $3 trillion. You're not bringing that garbage up in here. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord. And let the Lord build the house. They that build it laboreth in vain. We got to get right, church. Amen. God wants to use you. But God don't touch uncleanliness. He doesn't. He don't touch sin. Can't come before God all jacked up. We pray every time. It may be a couple times. We say, man, did you pray? And we, oh, God, I forgot. And then we pray. I'm telling you, man, you can't get down on your knees and petition the throne of God, calling on his name, without first getting right to go before the throne. You're going before the throne of Almighty God, calling on his name. The name that's above every name, that name, the name of Jesus, in which every knee shall bow, in which every tongue shall confess. You're calling on the name of Jesus. And you better get right before you call on that name. Some people be better off not to have come here today. Because listen, when you know better, you got to do better. It's holiness or hell. Ain't no in between. Ain't no in between. Ain't no gray line.
understand. He understands his word. He understands the 39 Old Testament books of the Bible, and he understands the 27 New Testament books of the Bible. That's what he understands. God operates according to his word. His word works. That's how God operates. God knew what he was doing when we fumbled through those scriptures. He made it where we have no excuse. He gave us the scriptures. Everyone possible that dealt with individuals, that dealt with the nation. I didn't know what God was doing when he gave it to me. But it didn't take long. Didn't take long. Listen to me. Listen, I'm just telling you. Listen, you can't get on your knees and call on the name of the Lord. You got to get right first. You're going in the presence of Almighty God. I got a big mouth. I don't need that. Huh? Oh. Hello. Amen. Praise God. But you can't, you know, I'm telling you what I know. You ain't got to believe me. Study those scriptures. That's why we started with Hebrews 13 and 8. I know you was like, man, he really fumbling up there. I know. Come on now. Amen. I questioned it myself when God gave it to me. But we've been living it. And it's not an easy message to preach. Folk want those good feeling messages. They don't want to hear. You mean now, if I come back in tomorrow and don't ask God? Listen, all I know is you heard the word. Is you either hearken to it or you dismiss it. Either you're going, amen, be grateful, or you're going to have regrets. I tell my children that when I discipline them. I said, either you're going to be grateful or you'll have regrets in life. My job as a father is to facilitate their dreams. That's my job. My son wants to go, amen, to Duke and study, praise God, medicine. He wants to be what's his name? They made a movie after him, Ben Carson. Amen, a neurosurgeon. Amen. And you know what, though? That's another story. But I don't care what political party Ben Carson is aligned with. Man, we don't give him enough acknowledgement. That man has done groundbreaking things. He's done first person to ever separated twins. Getting caught up in, you know, parties. Listen, I'm not Democratic or Republican. I'm not independent. I'm not Green Party. I am a Christian. That's what I am. Listen, I haven't been aligned with a party in years. And I've done multiple work documented in Washington. Worked with a couple presidents. Had drug czars in my office. Clinton came, brought him in. Worked on the crime bill, did a lot of different things. Listen, but truth be told, I don't align. How do you align yourself? We are Christians. I'm not Democrat. I'm not Republican. You might as well follow the zodiac sign. Hey, are you? No, I'm not. Man, your birthday's in. Yeah, I'm a Christian. What sign are you? I'm glad you asked. I'm blood bought, I'm blood washed, and I'm blood covered. I'm saved, I'm sanctified, and happy to be filled with the Holy Ghost. People open the door, be ready to walk through the door. When the door opportunity opens, most people aren't prepared to go through the door. It's not like opportunities don't come up. Listen, I don't know what your Bible says, but my Bible, Hebrews 11:1, I was having a conversation with Bill Winston, and he's a faith preacher. He's in his office, and I asked Pastor Winston, I said, Pastor Winston, what is Hebrews 11:1? And he said, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of the things unseen. That ain't what that Bible says. That ain't what Hebrews 11:1 says. Hebrews 11:1 doesn't say faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith. Listen, talking about I want a business. Listen, you looking at what's in your pocket? That ain't faith. When you ain't got nothing but dust in your pocket. Amen. If you heard from God, you should be out looking for buildings, looking at equipment. Everything I've achieved, God knows I'm telling the truth, it's been by faith. Praise God. And I'm not bragging. I'm testifying. You Google me, I had a show in the Tribune where I lost $164 million. Got my picture, they make me look like a gangster. Praise God. I got a gangster in me, though. Amen. Thank God for 1 John 4:4. Greater is the He that's in me than the He that is in the world. Amen. And so, praise God. I pray that we got, you know, something out of the Word. I pray that you share the Word. I pray you hearken to the Word. Amen. Just like the people died, they physically died. I'm telling you what I know. Stuff in your life is dying. It's dead. Because God does not play favoritism. We have to get right to come before God. Can't wear that cross loosely. Can't pick up that Bible loosely. That's the living Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away. But what? And we pick that up any kind of way? Man should live by bread alone. Man should not live by bread alone. By what? The Word. The Word works. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he shall repent. If God said it, it is so. You can take that to the bank. The only one in between you is you.
That's right.
Only thing in between you is you. I mean that. Praise God. And take the limitations off of God. Take the shackles. Don't try to shackle God up. Take the limits off. Huh? God knew what he was doing. Now, take my seat. Ephesians 3:20 says, exceeding abundantly above all I can ask, even think, according to the power that worketh in me. What is that? Exceedingly abundantly. Take one of those words off and it's still the bomb. So, okay, take exceedingly off. Abundantly. Okay, praise God. Take abundantly off and exceedingly. But God knows what he's doing. He said exceeding abundantly. All you can ask, even think, according to the power that worketh in you. Amen. Lastly, again, we have to walk by faith and not by sight. But in order to walk by faith, praise God, you got to live right. You can't say, I walk by faith, but your life doesn't reflect faith. When your life reflects faith, you're living godly. You're living a godly life. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. Those of you that are going through something, man, thank God for it. I mean that. You got to worry when it stops. Praise God. Listen, every plant needs some dirt to grow. Every plant needs some dirt to grow. So every time somebody talks about you, thank you for the dirt. Every time somebody lies on you, thank you for your dirt. They just pushing you into your destiny. Because God is more for you than the whole world is against you. And you got to remember, if God said it, it is so. God is more for us than the whole world is against us. Listen, God's, you know, I think releasing me to say it, but you know, This is the truth, my family. For I've had two mayors in Chicago, former Mayor Daley, Emmanuel's out, Chief of Staff Vance Henry called me a couple times. We had a three-hour meeting. I was training one of the largest apostolic churches in Chicago, and he came, and you know, I don't play around church, wanted to talk. I don't care if you're the mayor's deputy chief of staff, you know, it's church time. And so he had to wait, and we talked 3 hours afterwards. And right now, you know, that entertainment company I'm talking about, listen, if God wants me to have it, can't no man stop it. But the entertainment company is on a $4 billion project I'm working on, $4 billion on the lake in Chicago. Amen. Not bragging, amen, at all. Listen, I tell my sons and my family like I tell you, When God gives you something, amen, listen, just because you didn't get it, that doesn't mean that God wasn't speaking to you. We have a tendency to only thank God for open doors. Man, you better thank God for closed doors. You know you wouldn't have that wife or that husband you got if God hadn't shut some doors. Wouldn't have the job you have. Wouldn't have the house you have. Probably be dead sleeping in your grave if God hadn't shut a door. So we have to thank God for shut doors. You want to be in the perfect will of God. When you go looking for a house, baby, don't look at the size of the house. Say, God, let your will be done. Huh? God, if you want me to live here, bless God. If you don't want me to live here, I don't want to live here. Because God is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega and everything in between. So God sees the future. And so we have to, you know, surrender our will to God's will. God, your will be done. When you're going on a job, whatever you're going or you want to achieve, make sure you ask God, God, let your will be done, not my will. God, you know, sees the future because he is the future. And don't put limits on him. God may want to give you something better and bigger than you want. I promise something. And so, listen, we as parents understand this. As parents, our children come to us and they're good at playing both ends against the middle. They go to dad and then they run to mom, you know. But listen, our kids, example, my son, hope he doesn't mind me telling this story. He has a girlfriend and she had a birthday party and they were having it over in Covington by the license driver's place. So it's a big hall they're renting and the party. You know, he's 16, going on to 2 in the morning. That's like a club. And my son's, it was his girlfriend's birthday, 16 years old. And this, I said, no. And so, come on, Dad. Dad, come on, Mom. And do you know what love will do? Love will sometimes have you go against your best judgment because you love them. We love our children sometimes so much that we are willing to do something that we know we shouldn't do. My point is, if we're like that as superhumans, because we aren't regular humans, right? Because what's inside of us is not human. So if it's in us, we can't just be human. Amen. And so if we do it as humans, friends, God does that. He loves us so much that he wants more for you than what you want. The motives have to be right, though. God blesses us to be a blessing. He doesn't bless us for ourselves. He blesses us to be a blessing. So it can't be for me and mine and not them and theirs. You all are in the right church. Amen. The stuff I saw, praise God. God has blessed the church because the church has been a blessing. God wants to do the same thing in our lives. He wants to bless us, but can he trust us? Can he trust you? Can he trust you to be a blessing with what he's given you? Can he trust you? Come on, give God some praise. Wait, no, I forgot. I had 3 hours. Amen, thank God, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Huh? Okay, amen. I don't use the open doors. Let someone pastor ask me. So listen to this. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's do this real quick. Amen. Praise God. Is there anybody here? Listen, don't worry about who's sitting next to you. Don't worry about who's in front of you. I don't care what your title is or isn't. Listen, you may just realize, you know, praise God. Amen. I never really confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I never said John 1:9, which if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Listen, there's no magical way to get saved. You only get saved by the word of God. You could have grown up in church all your life and not saved. Be the best this, the best that, the best member. Amen. Praise God. But, you know, if you have never, amen, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, God's talking to you. If you never have, 1 John 1:9, confess with your mouth confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. You have to have those two scriptures. Amen. Praise God. To be saved. Praise God. So is there anybody here tonight, amen, that doesn't care what nobody thinks, that says, hey, you know, I'm coming to Jesus just as I am, weary, wounded, and sad. And I know I can find in him a resting place, and he will make me glad. Is there anybody here tonight? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's receive, Pastor.